This is Grounding Conversations with Dev Ramsaywak for Radio Lumi. This six-part segment series will lay the groundwork for the conversations that will be happening on our broadcast during Luminato 2023 and provide a background on the frameworks with which our audio experiences attempt to engage. Many performance shows and arts festivals begin their programming with your typical land acknowledgement. However, many Indigenous peoples have criticized the practice for relegating their relationship with the land to the past, which does more to alleviate settler guilt and discomfort than to demonstrate real solidarity and progressive action. In my relationship to Radio Lumi, I want to acknowledge these criticisms as a way to use my platform responsibly. I don't want to just acknowledge the trauma Indigenous peoples from all over have had inflicted on them, but to address how our society collectively is hurt by the mechanics of colonialism. I want to try to offer a demonstration of ways to actively engage with decolonial concepts in a practice to move forward on an interconnected journey towards collective liberation. In Grounding Conversations, I reveal myself as a time traveler as I embark on a journey that weaves in and out of the past, presents, and futures that are rooted in the festival's programming and our city's arts culture, tying them to the themes that the hosts here at Radio Lumi will be addressing from their own perspectives. This journey will be created using excerpts from my body of work to address the ongoing impacts of colonialism on our collective society and the underlying principles of disability justice that the San Francisco-based Disabled Arts Collective Sins Invalid imbued into the term when they coined it in 2005, in order to teach us how to resist our interlocking systems of oppression. It's now time to embark on the final part of our journey, Archives as Storytelling. The following segment is an audio adaptation of a short documentary written, directed, and produced by Dev Ramsaywak and Helen Lee, which was produced with the assistance of the Liaison of Independent Filmmakers of Toronto, or LIFT, as part of Transformations, a cross-generational commissioning project. I've traveled to the future for the final stop on our journey together. I walk along a dimly lit concrete hallway, passing through the threshold of a hulking, ominous black metal door, until I arrive outside of the underground bunker that I'm making into my new home. The bunker has dim overhead lighting, but there's a soft pink glow emanating from thin bright lights brightly juxtaposed against the rest of the muted room. It's sparsely furnished, with a small desk and office chair, a floor lamp with small shelves spotlit with pink light, and a small daybed. There are plants growing out of the walls from futuristic planters that glow with teal light. On the daybed, a small purple suitcase lays open, already half unpacked, with a black suit bag strewn over it. I remove my respirator with a sigh and discard the mask onto the desk with a thunk. I peel off my thick protective jacket and hang it on the back of the chair. As a storyteller, the stories I collect are what I carry with me into the future. My memories, conversations I've had, what I've heard and seen and felt, even the things I've tasted, both sweet and gut-wrenchingly bitter. To have a history we can recall, recount, recite, it's a privilege that so many of our ancestors and ourselves have fought to hang on to even a few threads of. Our histories give us more than just roots to ground ourselves in and learn from, but brings proof to our existence. Our impacts will always be felt, but to cite our knowledges back to the perspectives that were repeatedly attempted to be erased from our collective memories is a radical tool of potential transformation. Colonialism has worked relentlessly to try to discredit our history and experiences. From the ways we'd been taught to care for the land we subsist off of, to the ways we relate and love and care for each other. It attempted to restrict knowledge sharing through colonial institutions while trivializing pre-colonial methods like the oral tradition as anecdotal, gossip, and hearsay. But the breadth and depth of my knowledge didn't come from professors and textbooks. They came from earnestly asking questions and both making and consuming art. This is why I began to refer to myself as a living archive, or an aggregator of knowledge. As Alice Wong wrote in her anthology, Disability Visibility, First Person Stories of the 21st Century, storytelling can be more than a blog post, essay, or book. It can be an emoji, a meme, a selfie, or a tweet. It can become a movement for social change. So before I left the present one final time, I returned to the source of my stories, my community, to ask them what they would carry into the future as I prepared for my own journey.
I'd have to bring with me a helmet mask. It would be sort of like an item of protection for myself going into the future. I wouldn't know what to expect. Whoever I'm meeting, whatever I'm doing, that's just sort of like a totem, a representation of like who I am, my culture, about representations of ourselves that can't always be seen. It represents transformation and the ability to always change one state, no matter what it is. In West African tradition, masks, especially helmet masks, not only are they used to represent warriors and warriorship, but also in ceremonies and rites of passage where an individual is going through a state of change or transformation.
Theodore Walker Robinson is both a Radio Lumi host and the executive director of Lakeshore Arts. I met them during my first year producing Radio Lumi when I interviewed them for a disability spotlight on their work featured in the third issue of Crip Collab. While Theo and I share a Caribbean background, we don't share the same ancestors. So instead of a tribal mask, I unzip the suit bag on the daybed to reveal a black and red contemporary Indian outfit I've worn a few times over the last few years.
Definitely hope for healing for my community, especially coming from a Black, trans, disabled community. I see us going through so much right now, the throes of it, of this pandemic, which is still not over, and we're feeling the financial and economic fallout of all of that, and everyone is so unsettled right now and going through a lot of health issues on top of the complications of COVID. And so I just want to see folks like get what they need to live so that they can be free in other ways as well.
I pull the shawl off the hanger and drape it across my shoulders as I think about Theo's words.
I think we need to realize that we have the ability to change and sort of transform the situation in our system and how we distribute resources to one another. There's more than enough for everyone to make sure that everyone eats every day as they require to at least survive. How do we do that in a creative way, in a transformative way, using our power, using our resources to help distribute something that helps people feel inspired to think about what the future can look like if we each use our own potential power to transform. And I think a lot of us haven't had that realization that everyone has some kind of potential for power to change. I guess I'm one of those like hopeless romantic optimists for social change.
I hear a small mule cry out from the corner of the room and see my black cat named Shiva, still waiting to be released from her carrier. As I go to open the small great door for her, I think of Kate Welsh, the other co-founder of our collective named Crip.
If I could take anything into the future with me, I think I would take my dog. He gives me so much love and support. But one of the best things he does is he's like an ableism deterrent, because people come up to me and they don't say, why are you in a wheelchair? Or why do you use a walker? They just talk to me about my dog.
I sit on the hard, dark floor and pull Shiva into my lap to gently pet her.
We know that disability is becoming more and more common because of how the world is working, climate change, the pandemic. So I'm really hopeful that there's more disability community things, more disability dance parties, and more disability gatherings, and more disability craft nights, and more disability peer support lines. Like other marginalized groups, like shared experience of oppression, which doesn't sound great, but I think that there's something like really special about like the shared experience of how we navigate the world together, especially as like a young, queer, disabled person. It's hard to find other people like us. I'm very glad that I've been able to find people like me, and it's really like changed my life in like a really validating way.
I let Shiva slip out of my lap and slink off to explore her new environment.
I think that we need to learn that like disabled people are valuable, that we have things to offer, that our lived experience matters, that having different bodies and minds is part of diversity. If I'm really dreaming, dismantle capitalism and get rid of the medical model and have ways to participate and be with each other in community that are not like production-based or exploitative. And my dog teaches me he doesn't need to be working or earning his value in order for me to like want to give him food and water and housing. Just by being his little like cuddly self, he has value. Yeah, I feel like pets can teach us a lot about compassion, empathy, community.
I turn to the desk to find my green satchel sitting on the chair and begin to rummage inside it. I start to pull out a collection of different kinds of art, like prints, scenes, knickknacks, and graphic tees, organizing them onto the desk and chair as I do. Many of them were given to me by Sherry Austin Knoll, whom I also met through the Radio Lumi Disability Spotlight series.
I would bring beadwork. I was thinking of why I want to bring beadwork to the future and bring it with me rather than in a museum or something. It's because that's like the way that beadwork didn't get to come to the present from 100 or 150 years ago. So a lot of that's in museums and away from community right now. And I want it to be like with us on our being, in our families, and treasured.
I pull on a black sweatshirt as I think about them. It's my own design with simple purple text that reads, "We're already surviving our dystopias."
I think I hope to see community in general more than anything, like people being present and caring for each other. I think we've been so disconnected from that, like through capitalism and colonialism, and the folks are really pushing right back right now.
I take some of the prints and walk over to a bare wall of the bunker and start to arrange and stick them on in a grid-like collage.
I think like the biggest sort of focal values for me are like care, and care that extends across species and beings and entities that have being, whether they're something Western mainstream society perceives as living or something that's kind of otherwise. Like a piece of beadwork can be like an entity and a being that we care for, and even like a plastic cup in some ways should be, because then we like react to it in a way that makes us want to enact responsibility. And so care kind of toward all of the beings around us, I think, is how that could be achieved.
Returning back to my bag and reaching inside, I pull out a thin orange envelope of photos. On top is a selfie with one of my oldest and dearest friends, Jasmine Patterson, who's been guiding, teaching, and learning with me for as long as I can remember.
We've been friends for like 22 years, something like that. It would be my photos. Well, that I've taken them myself, other people have. They are very important to me. They're a means of storytelling and sharing who I love, what I love, things I find interesting or funny with those I may meet in the future, and also to look back on my life.
I begin to flip through the photos. They're in different sizes, some of them small Polaroids, strips from photo booths, old film photographs from my childhood, and some even printed on paper, now wrinkled and creased with age.
I hope for Toronto, community does become more important, that caring becomes more, I guess, regular. People think caring is just, oh, buying your friend a thing or whatever, but like showing care for a community, those who are struggling or marginalized, I really think that when there's a little more care and love, it just benefits everyone, right? And when everyone is benefiting, they feel better, things are better. I just want everyone to be happy and good. That's what I want. No more stress and sadness about people having to go through tough things on their own, essentially.
I gather up the photos again and slide them back into their envelope and leave it on the desk to come back to later.
I think there needs to be a lot of structural changes and a lot less focus on the individual and lining big business pockets. Like, a lot of the way that everything is built and how it goes on is not focusing on the collective, it's focusing on the individuals. And so we need to get rid of systems that benefit those above, where those below can work their asses off and still not even have half the things that those few at the top have. And that's like a very hard thing to change when so many of those people who have the most are the ones in power. So that's kind of the tough part.
Reaching into my bag one last time, I begin to pull out different sized and colored journals, their covers worn and pages bloated, to stack them on the desk. Documenting ourselves isn't an act of vanity. Our histories don't just legitimize us, but value us and learn from us and ground our future in our very beings. I hope to see a future in which we can all be chasing dreams and soulmates and passions instead of grinding ourselves back to the dirt we came from just to survive, many of us questioning why we even want to survive. I want to live in a future where we flourish and thrive rather than wondering if we'll make it to the end of the year, the month, the week, the day. I want to live in a future Toronto that's as diverse as we claim we are, and we care for each other unquestioningly. One where we carry the weight of our failures with us to remind ourselves why we do it when things aren't easy or simple or unilaterally consistent. In order for us to get there, we have to seek out storytellers and stargazers and find where we fit in the middle. We all exist as multiplicities, and the truths we can honestly claim can only be derived from exchanging our perspectives until we can understand it from every dimension. That was the final part of the 6-part segment series, Grounding Conversations, Archives as Storytelling. This segment was produced by Dev Ramsey-Wack for Radio Lumi as part of Luminato 2023, adapted from their short documentary film, What We Carry, which they wrote, directed, and produced with Helen Lee, featuring interviews with Theodore Walker Robinson, Kate Welsh, Sherry Osden-Knoll, and Jasmine Patterson. The music used in this segment is by G.R. Grit. Sound effects were Foley, produced by Dev Ramsaywak.